Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Thank you. Good afternoon. As usual, Mike Coates here with the second hour of Swing Time for Tuesday, the 30th of June, 2026. First, big thank you today for my colleague John Yule for starting up the show and for doing some extraordinary things in his capacity as chief engineer. Thank you for your efforts today, John. Much appreciated. And looking at the date, 30th of June, I guess it's all down to Christmas from now on in. We'll certainly try not to keep mentioning Christmas until nearer the date here on Swing Time. My opening track was by the Conti Candoli All-Stars, and they were Conti Candoli trumpet, Buddy Collette tenor, Vince Guaraldi on piano, Leroy Venega bass, and Stan Levy drums. A recording made in Los Angeles on the 3rd of February 1960. I noticed from the gig guide today that the theme of the Keith Peters Big Band concert tonight at Farm Road uses the word time. And it's a major feature of the presentation, of course, of another musician, who was, of course, Dave Brubeck, who used time as a theme for two albums. From the initial Time Out, which contained a very, very familiar Dave Brubeck tune, I've selected an alternative to really keep Steve Holmes' idea of time and the continuation of Swing Time running through. Our next track is by the Dave Brubeck Quartet from Time Out, and it's called Three to Get Ready. In their admirable compilation of CD annuals, Brian Morton and Richard Cook made the point that this album is so familiar that really we don't listen to it as perhaps we ought to. And I think the track I've selected, Three to Get Ready, gives an indication of the amount of effort and thought that Brubeck put into this album. The usual album, or the usual personnel rather, are Paul Desmond on alto, Brubeck piano, Eugene Wright bass, and in very fine form, Joe Morello on drums. Three to Get Ready. Thank you. 3 to get ready. On the face of it, a simple waltz time, but certainly listening carefully to Dave Brubeck's solo, I did detect his timing going to 5-4 and two others which I couldn't identify. I think the comment made by Richard Cook and Brian Morton is very apt. It really, and I did this, listened carefully to the other tracks other than Take 5, and I think you'll find it very rewarding. By the time Brubeck released Take 5 for the album Time Out, he was a well-established personality in the jazz world. Other musicians had a tougher time of it. In 1942, Bunk Johnson was rediscovered in New Orleans. His claim to fame was that he had actually played with the legendary Buddy Bolden in New Orleans. He did require a new set of teeth to get started, but when this was accomplished, he went on for the next 7 years to be a leading figure in the revivalist traditional jazz scene. Here is a track from the first released recorded session after he was rediscovered in early 1942. The track is Down by the Riverside, and his accompanying musicians were Bunk Johnson on trumpet, of course, Jim Robinson, trombone, George Lewis, clarinet, Walter Deacon on piano, Lawrence Marrero, banjo, Austin Young, bass, and Ernest Rogers is the drummer. Recorded in New Orleans on the 11th of June 1942, Down by the Riverside.
Thank you.
down by the riverside. Whilst on the subject of early jazz musicians, I thought I should include a white jazz musician who has had little or no attention on Swing Time. This is Ben Pollock, a drummer who in the early days established himself with such groups as the New Orleans Rhythm Kings. It seems, however, that he wasn't particularly well admired by his fellow musicians. And one of the reasons might have been, for example, that for publicity purposes, when the band player, when the band had chosen to play a track like Tiger Rag, he insisted that the bass player wear a tiger's head. Or when they played perhaps a tune from the Islands, the rhythm section were expected to wear grass skirts and sway accordingly. I don't see that going down too well today, but who am I to criticise? He was a good drummer, and what, in fact, his contribution to jazz was his ability to spot outstanding musicians. And when he eventually formed his own hot dance band with very, very collective jazz influences included in his roster of players were people like Jimmy McPartland, Jack Teagarden, Bud Freeman, Benny Goodman, Harry James and Nappy Lamar, along with Yank Lawson and Matt Matlock. So you can see that his ability to collect together a group of individuals was not to be sneezed at. And in his very early days, a ranger that he booked with some success was a trombone player called Glenn Miller. So, let's have an example of the early days of Ben Pollock. This is a track called The Whoopee Stomp, and some of those names appear in this lineup. The group is under the name of Jimmy McHugh's Bostonians, obviously an idea of the record companies, and we hear Jimmy McPartland on and Al Harris on trumpets, Jack Teagarden trombone, Benny Goodman is the clarinet player, Gil Rodin on tenor, Larry Binion on tenor, Ed Breckman plays violin, and Vic Breedis on piano. Dick Morgan is the guitar player. Harry Goodman, that's Benny Goodman's brother, and the gentleman who was obliged to wear the tiger's head, I understand, on bass and banjo, with Ben Pollock, of course, at drums. A recording made in New York City on the 27th of November, 1928. This is The Whoopee Stomp. Thank you. 1934, the band that Ben Pollock was leading broke up in California. And the result was that quite a number of the musicians in the band at that time went on to form the Bob Crosby Orchestra and the Bob Crosby Bobcats. By the early 1940s, Ben Pollock had moved away from music and had become quite a successful restaurateur. But sadly, for reasons which are not known, he committed suicide. But he certainly did collect together a large number of very influential jazzmen. In some ways, I suppose the Brubeck album, Time Out, could be considered my classic disc for today. But I feel that my next selection just eases out Brubeck from this prime spot. And my selection for my classic disc today is an album that does have a time significance to it. It's called Out to Lunch, which makes it part of the Eric Dolphy discography. I've selected two selections for today from the Out to Lunch album, because in addition to following in the footsteps, I suppose, of people like Ornette Coleman, Dolphy was very instrumental in taking jazz through into the avant-garde and free form that we sought to consider, I think, after Coltrane and Dolphy made their historic recordings. And additionally, Dolphy majored in his performances on bass clarinet and a lot of work on flute, and I'm selecting these two instruments to hear from the album Out to Lunch. My first track, Something Sweet, Something Tender, features the bass clarinet, and the other musicians on this track are Freddie Hubbard trumpet, Bobby Hutchinson on vibes, who in fact takes the place of a pianist on this occasion, Richard Davis on bass, and Tony Williams at the drums. Recorded in the Van Gelder studio in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, on the 25th of February 1964. Something Sweet, Something Tender. Thank you. an example of the music which Eric Dolphy had startled the music scene in New York City some 4 years earlier when in company with Charles Mingus. The critics were divided, some for, some against. Musicians, especially younger players, welcomed the new direction Dolphy was moving the music into. Sadly, Eric Dolphy was not to know of this acclaim. He died before this Out to Lunch album was issued. So, a further selection, this time a flute feature with a title composed by Eric Dolphy called Grazzoloni. Rather strange, but apparently Grazzoloni was a leading flautist and certainly in classical music terms around at the time. Here Eric plays flute, and I think you'll find this just as interesting as we heard on Something Sweet, Something Tender. Thank you. Eric Dolphy's tribute to a master flautist of the day. The development of the free-form or avant-garde style of jazz continued from Ornette Coleman and, of course, carries on still today. Sadly, we didn't hear too much more from Eric Dolphy, whose dates were 20th of June 1928 to the 29th of June 1964, yesterday being the anniversary of his passing. A track now associated with a big band leader, played by another big band drummer. I'll tell you that the track is a smooth one. Thank you. From the vinyl album, The Wailing Buddy Rich, that was Buddy Rich in small group format, saluting Benny Goodman and Charlie Christian. The sidemen with Buddy were Harry Sweets Edison, trumpet, the very distinctive sound of Sonny Chris on alto, Jimmy Rolls at the piano, John Simmons bass, and, of course, Buddy Rich at the drums, recorded in Los Angeles in 1955. Sorry to say, time to shut the show, to shut the shop again. Mike Oates thanking you for listening to Swing Time on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I expect to be back, as usual, next week, when my colleague will be doing other things, and I hope that you'll be able to join me for some more jazz, blues and swing music. To go out then, a track which I think comes something of a surprise. The leader here is Kenny Burrell, but when I also announce the group is conducted by and the tunes arranged by Gil Evans, the jazz fans' perception changes gear quite somewhat. So, the sidemen, or some of them, include Johnny Coles, trumpet, Jimmy Cleveland and Jimmy Nepper on trombone, Richard Kamuka, tenor, Lee Kornitz on alto, and the French horn player, as you might expect, is Julius Watkins. Ron Carter crops up on bass, and two drummers included in the group are Elvin Jones and Charlie Persip. A recording made between the 4th of December 1964 and the 12th of April 1965. This is Moon and Sand.